All right, good evening. It's Tuesday, April 17, 2018, and it's currently 5:31 p.m. We're calling to order the Planning Commission meeting for today. Let's go ahead and start with introductions on my far left.
Jim Spencer, South Kitsap.
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
Spencer Stegman, North Kitsap.
Richard Chaddock, Central Kitsap.
Tom Nevins, North Kitsap.
Joe Phillips, Central.
Care Ann Gonzalez, Harless, South Kitsap.
And Gina Buskirk, Central Kitsap. If everybody would just take note, our agenda has been updated today. So just take a quick notice of that, and we'll come back to this a little bit later, but just to let everybody know, Robert Baglio moved outside Kitsap County. That was his letter that's contained in this. While it doesn't strictly prohibit him from being on the commission, by rule, he does recognize that it's meant for folks that do live within the jurisdiction and have obviously an interest in what happens here within Kitsap County. So he has served us well, and we wish him well. I'm sure we'll see him maybe even testifying before us. But that was the update to our agenda. So we'll be revisiting that later because we'll need to elect a new vice chair. Let everybody know about that update. Do we have a motion to adopt the agenda for tonight's meeting?
Sure, I'll move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
All in favor, say aye. Aye. Raise your hand. Sorry. Different meetings required. anybody object? All right. Motion does pass. Move on to the minutes. The last meeting, the first Tuesday of the month, was canceled, so we're just still working off our minutes from the March 13th, 2018 meeting. Does anybody have any changes or updates to make to the minutes? All right. So I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Also move. All
right. Second? Do we have second from anybody?
Second.
All right, thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, please raise your hand. All right. Any nays, noes, and abstention? All right. Joe Phillips is the only abstention. He was not present at that last meeting. Right. And with that, we will approve the minutes, and I will sign those. The next item on our agenda is the briefing and the work study for the proposed minor amendments in Title 16 and 21, the final plat signatures. So, Scott Diener, welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you. I like to come for the easier ones and leave the hard stuff for the PEP division. So, again, I'm Scott Diener, Manager of Development Services and Engineering for Kitsap County Department of Community Development, and I'm going to talk tonight about our plat submittal review, signature, recordation. I will talk about the proposed changes and then close with a summary of what the Planning Commission is recommending, hopefully. But what the department is recommending, certainly. And if we have hearing and deliberation tonight, and it looks like we have a good shot at that, then we'll have findings of facts available for signature tonight. And if all that goes as planned, then we'll have board discussion next week and a hearing before the board on May 14th and an effective date of 1 week later. So before I get started, one of the things that we're talking about tonight is also one of the red tape reduction projects. The red tape reduction program was borrowed from Pierce County, and it's really a program that's designed to identify inefficiencies, unnecessary steps, unnecessary touch time on applications, waste, and then eliminate it. And so we see this as perhaps one of those items. The backdrop to this proposal tonight begins with legislation that occurred in 2017, Senate Bill 5674, which reads in part, the legislative authorities of cities, towns, and counties may by ordinance delegate final plat approval to an established planning commission or agency, such as VCD, or to such other administrative personnel in accordance with state law or local charter. And so to enact this requires the simple changes to Title 16 and Title 21 that you should have seen. Now, note that this is only for subdivisions, urban subdivisions of 10 lots or more, which are considered our plats. These plats are type 3 actions. They receive a public hearing and a decision from the hearing examiner. And the subject of tonight's discussion require currently the chair of the board's signature. We also call these regular plats or straight plats, and code simply refers to them as subdivisions in Title 16. The other plats that we review don't receive this level of review, and I'll just get those out of the way real quick. Like, we have what we call short subdivisions. Those are rural developments of 4 lots or less, and we also have urban short plats, which are 9 lots or less. We also have large lot subdivisions, which are rural developments of 5 acres or more, resulting in lots or tracts of 5 acres or more. Each of these are considered type 2 approvals processes, and they don't go to the hearing examiner or require board signature. So I'm going to speak to the typical process for review and approval of a typical subdivision, and I have an example of a 51-lot subdivision with me tonight that I'm going to give to you to look at. I'm going to speak to the general process of plat review and approval and signature, but know that there are several opportunities to depart from this typical subdivision process. So, for example, we can give extensions. There can be bonding for certain development within a plat. There can be appeal of a decision. So what I'm speaking to you is the general process. And what I have for you, and I'll give this to you to pass around, is an example of a 51-lot development. It's called Steel Creek Ridge. This actually was not approved too long ago, or this was approved not too long ago. I've got the signatures that are currently required highlighted in yellow with the board's signature highlighted in orange. So typically, a preliminary plat will be submitted for review and recommendation to the hearing examiner from the department, who will render a decision after she holds a public hearing. That decision is valid for a period of 5 years, meaning the applicant has 5 years to submit a final plat showing all the conditions of approval. This usually means all the pre-development is completed and inspected by DCD. This includes roads, utilities, curb gutter sidewalks, landscaping, fencing, and recreational amenities. Another way to look at what is approved is everything is completed except for the construction of occupiable structures. So homes come later under separate permits. When a final plat is submitted, staff will review the plat against what was approved and will issue a letter of approval to the applicant consistent with its Type 1 approval process. At this point, approval has been given. So that's formal approval that the applicant can rely on. But signatures are now needed on the face of the plat to be able to record the plat with the auditor's office. Signatures include, of course, the owner, the county engineer or the public works director, who acknowledges that any improvements that the county is to own or is to assume and maintain have been constructed to county standards. The director of public health acknowledges water and sewer or septic matters have been addressed. The county treasurer asserts that all taxes are current on the property. The director of DCD then signs the plat, which basically asserts all the conditions of approval have been met and essentially validates the approval that has been given to the applicant. And then the chair of the board of county commissioners signs. This signature can only occur after it's been authorized in a public meeting by a majority vote, so two of the commissioners, which today occurs at work study. And then after that, lastly, the county auditor will sign at the time the plat is recorded. And then that gets the lots on the market. So the process of getting the plat to the board requires that DCD understands the board's schedule, that we fit a plat signature briefing and authorization in with their schedule. Typically, the board asks for no less than a week's advance notice of these kinds of things, and DC is required to post an executive summary 10 days in advance with the clerk of the board. The time frame for an applicant can be extended if the agendas are full or if no meetings are scheduled. You know, this can be a problem around holidays. And once the chair is authorized to sign, that signature happens pretty quickly, usually within the same week, and we advise the applicant and they get the plat ready for recordation. Recordation, however, is not also given immediately. It can take up to a couple weeks depending on the workload of the auditors. But it's important to note that the board's role is, as they will admit, largely ceremonial today. And plat signatures are not denied. We don't see that they say we're not going to sign these plats. What is important to note about the proposed code change is the benefit to the applicant as well to staff to a degree. The applicant's cost of business, what we'll call the holding cost for the development loan, are at the highest point just prior to recordation. At this time that the landowner is most eager to get the lots on the market to start their return on investment. A couple months ago, I talked to a prominent developer in our area, and he said, and I asked him about holding costs, and he gave me an example of a 50-lot development with a one-month holding cost at this time of $40,000. I suspect it might be that development. So in addition to getting these lots on the market quicker, DCD has less touch and holding time, which also translates to time savings with the applicant and, to a degree, a little bit lower cost to the applicant. Finally, I'd note that it is that at this point where DCD has applicants that really are eager and very adamant and sometimes even militant about getting these plats quickly signed one way or the other because, again, it's costing them and they can see the light at the end of the tunnel. So when we saw that there was legislation approved allowing for this approach, we began discussion about it publicly and have heard nothing but support for this. And we also know, however, that our Board of County Commissioners is interested in what's going on in their respective districts. And so it's important to the commissioners and DCD that we advise them of these platting actions. You know, they want to have their pulse on what's developing in the county. And there are a couple of ways we can do that, and so we will be developing that approach with them if they find the proposed code favorable. So the code that we're looking at tonight is it's pretty straightforward. This is probably one of the more straightforward code changes we've seen in some time. It really strikes out in a couple places in Title 16 reference to the board signature, and in Title 21 reference to the board signature again in the process table. So I've reviewed the plat types, the preliminary plat approval process, the signature process, and the support for backing the board out of final plat signatures. Do you have any questions for me before we go into hearing?
Scott, if this is adopted, then what will constitute final plat approval? The community development director's signature?
Yes. Yep. Okay. That's when we will call the applicant and say, come pick up your plat, let's go get it recorded. I had a communication from Russ Shiplett, the executive director of Kitsap Building Association. He said he was going to be here tonight to testify on this, but I guess he has not made it, and I don't know if we want to.
If you recommend, we can always, I think the concept was that we would handle this, and then we would get the administrative update so you'd have time to prepare findings of fact.
The findings have been prepared.
Okay.
We're ready to roll. There will be another hearing opportunity, so he can also provide testimony in front of the board.
Okay. I would say other than that, if you wanted, we could potentially skip ahead and do election of vice chair if you want to give him a few minutes.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Is that okay? Just go out of order. All right.
Any other questions before I step back?
You said it takes up to a week for the auditor to record?
Well, so Gary Lindsay said it can take longer than that because of their workload. So they will give it to the auditors, and then they may not be able to record it on the spot. They've got to do some, I'm not quite sure about their processes, but it sounds like they've got to do some work to investigate the appropriateness of recording that particular document. But I'm not all familiar with, at all familiar with what it is they do to get something recorded.
All right, so we'll give it a couple minutes before we open the public hearing formally to see. It's 5:45, and we are moving things along, which is good. So my goal. So let's jump to H, which is the election of a vice chair to replace Mr. Baglio. We do need anybody can nominate someone for the position, I would like to make a formal nomination for Kara Ann. She's been part, has a good history in this type of work, but she's also been part of the Planning Commission for a while, and I did do that with her permission. And Jack likes to surprise me sometimes. But, so does anybody have a second on that?
I'll second.
I've got 2 seconds. Anybody else want to make a nomination? All right. We'll close nominations. This might be close. All. Everybody in favor of Kara Ann taking the vice chair position, can you please raise your hand? All right. Anybody against it? Anybody abstaining? Kara Ann's abstaining. And knitting. So, all right. The motion carries. We'll have Kara Ann serve out the remainder of Mr. Beglio's position as vice chair. That did not chew up that much time. So we can either open the public hearing or we can go on to administrative update.
Let's give him a couple more minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, the administrative update.
So for the record, happy tax day, everybody. Jim Bolger, Assistant Director, Department of Community Development.
Plus one additional day.
What?
Technology issues.
Oh, right, the payment system at IRS. I heard that at noon. Not many administrative updates today, just a couple of kind of notices. One is that the board adopted the docket for the 2018 comp plan amendment cycle. You'll be having a briefing on that that's scheduled for May 1st, coming up by Peter Best in the Planning and Environmental Program section. There's roughly 6, I think, county-sponsored amendments. And then there are a number of site specifics. The board chose to include 2 that the department was recommending against inclusion of. But like I say, you'll get further detail on that at your next meeting. We also have the meeting with the Board of County Commissioners, and this is reflected on your agenda, to discuss the annual report, and that's scheduled for May 9th. The board briefing starts at 10 a.m. in the boardroom for the commissioners right next door. But you're scheduled at 11 o'clock to 11:30 to sit down and meet with the board. And then in having conversations with staff earlier about this meeting, there was some, expression that people would be interested in having that meeting with the board count as one of the Planning Commission meetings for the month of May, so not necessarily reconvening for a third time, so your regularly scheduled meetings. Unfortunately, the board's availability made us fall in between your 2 regularly scheduled meetings, so we have the prospects of either canceling the May 1st meeting and move the comp plan briefing to the May 15th. I know that we're really anxious to get moving on the comp plan amendments, and so we'd prefer to get that out of the way sooner so that staff can go off and begin the analyses of the various proposed amendments at this point. So at this point, the department would recommend we perhaps cancel the May 15th meeting in lieu of the scheduled May 9th meeting with the Board of County Commissioners. Madam Chair, I would offer that as something for the Planning Commission to potentially take action on.
Writing that down. So let's see. The suggestion is that we cancel May 15th and use May 9th only as the, or May 9th instead. Does anybody have a motion to approve that change in the dates?
Yeah, I'll move to cancel the May 15th meeting.
We have
Have action on the May 9th meeting instead.
We have a second?
Second.
Mr. Swenson. Mr. Murphy. All right. Everybody in favor?
No discussion.
Sorry, discussion? Forget that part.
Seems to be jumping the gun a bit. On May 1st, do we have, I'm a little worried that we're canceling meeting after meeting and we're going to get whacked here at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be this, oh, my God,
hope we're not getting ourselves into that situation. Is there business to be held after?
There will be future business. This actually happens to be, if I probably shouldn't even say this out loud because it will change, but this is actually kind of a slow time for, particularly for our long-range planning. We're kind of in between windows of having kind of major project updates. You will start seeing this ramp up again in the coming years, but we can't really bring anything to you until it's ready to go before the board. And so sometimes we can try and manage that workflow as it comes to the Planning Commission, and sometimes it's dictated by kind of external drivers that we don't really have control on. We don't have any kind of pending code issues that are going to come before the Planning Commission. We also want to be respectful of your time and not bring everybody down here for a super quick meeting that's not really worth the time and effort. So we'd like to try and combine these with real business. That said, the exception would be this May meeting where we really, given the level of capacity we have in the department right now, those comp plan amendments take an awful lot of analysis. Some of them are going to have some pretty significant environmental review associated with them. And so we have a lot of work to do on that. So the sooner we can kind of make sure that those folks that are involved in the legislative process have been apprised of what's coming forward. You'll probably see that work late summer. It won't be that long before you'll start getting slammed with stuff. So.
You retired, though.
Hey, that means my time is more valuable.
Do we have any further discussion?
Well, I'd just speak to Mr. Bulger's commentary with regard to the respect to time thing, and I appreciate that when we can, simply for the fact that you're not ready, for those of us that are now sitting 50 minutes from North Kitsap one way, I'd like to be here 90 if it's worth the drive. So yeah. I'd rather have you stack up a little until we're actually busy.
Sure. And there is an open position in the south end if you'd care to.
Don't hold an app.
Any further discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion to cancel the meeting on the 15th and just have the meeting on the 9th instead. All right. Looks like that's unanimous.
That's all I got.
Is that all you have? Okay. I don't think we can delay any longer.
No, I think we're good.
I think we're good. It is 5:54. And we're going to go ahead and open the public hearing regarding proposed minor amendments to Title 16 and Title 21, final plat signatures. I can't see a time to reference a time, but we'll formally, at least your recording time, but we'll formally open the hearing. I think we usually have sign-ups in the back of the room, though I don't see anybody other than county staff here. Did you want to testify?
No.
Okay. You just looked like you were ready. You're ready to close. All right. That being said, we've made our record. I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing at 5:55.
I wanted to follow up on a couple of things. So I was thinking more about your question to me, and I think Gary, this is back in February, Gary's reference was that it can take some time to get parcel numbers assigned to the new lots. That was the specific issue that can hold up getting those lots on the market.
You tax parcel numbers?
Yes. The other thing that I think I was a little remiss in was talking about the public process. And so I want to let you know that we sent this out to the Department Advisory Group. We've talked about it in public forums. We sent it to KBA to be aware of, the Kitsap Building Association. We sent it to our citizen advisory groups for them to be aware of. I did get one email back from Suquamish Citizen Advisory Group, Tom Curley, saying that he didn't really understand the importance of this. And so I followed up with a subsequent discussion, and his response was that he was in support of it. So there hasn't been any other written comments or testimony, but it is something that the people we talked to about the support. And then just to make sure that we've got it into the record, the changes that we're looking at are to 16.40050, that first paragraph where the last portion of the last sentence is struck, and the portion that's struck reads, plat and shall forward the final plat to the Board of County Commissioners for their approval. Actually, there's a slight error there. It should just be struck from and on. So the word plat there should not be struck out, and I think that's just a Scrivener's error. And then in 16.40050C1, actually C7, that entire sentence is struck, which reads signature and dateline for approval by the Board of County Commissioners. And then in Title 21, the review authority table has a slight change to row 37 where reference to the board is struck, and then the footnote is modified. The footnote 2 is deleted, actually, at the end of that table. And those are the changes that you have in front of you.
Looks like the same on that Appendix A. On the Appendix A, also, just for your reference, it looks like the same Scrivener's error as it was.
Yes. Yep.
In both places.
Yep. That'll be corrected for the board's version.
All right, so let's open this up for deliberation.
Go ahead. You can do it.
I hate to cut off discussion.
That's all right. No, we have the discussion after we make the motion to approve.
All right. I move that we approve the proposal as submitted by staff.
We have a second. Been moved and seconded. Discussion.
Point of clarification from Scott, if we don't mind. On your page 8 and 9, you referenced footnote 2 where it was struck out for BCC signature only. The footnote prior to that does say hearing examiner recommendation subject to Board of County Commissioner approval. So are they verbally approving and just not signing, or is it not going through them at all?
That is a good question, and I will find the answer to that in one moment. There is another reference in another row to footnote 1, which is what we should be looking for. The prior footnote doesn't refer to this issue, but I need to find that. Footnote, row 28? Yes, okay. Row 28 speaks to rezones and has that footnote 1. And that rezone is a hearing examiner recommendation subject to the Board of County Commissioners' approval.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. Yes. So the footnote on line 38 needs to be revised to footnote 2. It's going, 3 is being moved up to 2. Good catch, Jim. Mm-hmm. Worth his money.
All right. Do we have any other discussion, comments? Some going on.
I will just make a comment that looking over the law as it was passed, and I believe it was actually held over in 2017 and quickly passed in 2018, but it doesn't matter. But there was some initial resistance to this measure, but that all seemed to melt away at some point, and most of the legislators on both sides of the aisle voted in favor of this particular change in the procedure. So seems to be no objection.
Does there need to be a new motion based on the conversation between Mr. Bulger and there's an edit,
to
a footnote? Okay, thank you.
All right. Any other comments or discussion? Close discussion and move to voting. All in favor of adopting the recommendations of staff for this this ordinance, I guess it doesn't have a number on it now.
Not yet.
To be named ordinance we've been discussing. All in favor, please raise your hand. For the record, that's unanimous. And it passes. If you, do you have the findings of fact? You are all on top of it. Do you want to discuss them or put them up on the overhead? I think usually we see them on the overhead. Sure. Right. Whatever you think is best. You want to use this one? Sure. If you're gonna, are you going to use this?
And so this document is in your packets, too. In the back end of the staff report, the last attachment.
Thank you.
So I'll go ahead and flip this over.
Oh, am I missing that? I don't know that I have that. But I've read it. Oh, wait, here they are.
I hope it's got your names on it.
Yeah, attachment B. All right, I can't recall. Do we need to vote on the findings as well? All right. Do we have a motion to adopt the findings of fact that have been as presented to us?
So moved.
Second.
All right, Spencer's moved and Joe is seconded. All in favor of adopting the findings of fact as presented to us this evening, raise your hand. For the record, that is unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I think our final I on our agenda is just anything for the good of the order. Yes, sir, Anne.
Could we get a, I can't think of the name of it, staff roster? You know, I asked you
a contact.
Pardon me?
Org chart.
Org chart, yes. Because there's new people now and who's where and what they're doing.
Did you want to address the update that you would like to see?
Oh,
yeah.
When, I don't know if we would do this with our joint meeting with the board or if we could do it at another time with the planning commission, but I was watching the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council, and there was some stuff brought up about, I think it's Eric that's working on legislative changes, or bring Eric Baker for the GMA, stuff that the board wants to see changed in the law, and there was talk about, from Commissioner Wolf about, I think it has to do with the bases being recognized as urban centers and being right, you know, shoulder to shoulder with Pierce County and getting changes to support that. And it was really hard to hear on the meeting what was actually taking place because they do not use a subject in their sentences.
No.
So it was hard to catch up on, but that's the gist of what it was. And so I'm just curious.
It sounds like you might be conflating two, but they may have been conflating two different issues.
Well, I won't tell you who was talking most of the time, but I wouldn't be surprised.
So there are a couple of different things that are actively going on that the county has been participating in. One of those is that the legislature in the not the short session, but the long session at the beginning of the biennium, they established funding for the Ruckel South Center, which is kind of a joint UW-WSU conflict resolution center, but a resolution center. And they have been undertaking a process that's kind of now that we're kind of almost since the adoption of the Growth Management Act, it's an opportunity to kind of look back and see where there might be opportunities, where have been the barriers, where have been, you know, the advantages of implementing the Growth Management Act over time, and putting together kind of a recommendation for the legislature. So the Ruckel South Center has been identified through a number of different processes as being this place that can be the repository for all questions related to the functionality of the Growth Management Act and its implementation across the state over the last 20 years. And so they had a listening session out here a couple of weeks ago. I think it was March 27th. I think I might have shared the announcement for that listening session. So that's one issue that's going on that a lot of folks, including the legislature, are hoping that a lot of issues that have been identified associated with the Growth Management Act over the years can be resolved. And so the county has provided some input to the Ruckel South Center as they're scoping kind of the next phase of their work, which is really trying to get their arms around just how broad their mandate should be when they're trying to address barriers and successes in implementing the Growth Management Act and possible fixing of those barriers. So that's the one issue.
So the board's actually, or whoever, Eric, I think it is, mm-hmm. has actually submitted something which could.
So at the listening session, he may have provided some written comment to the Ruckel South Center staff that were coordinating this effort.
Is that something we can see? Because sure. I'm curious as to what the issues are and what the board's position is on those.
Sure.
We're going to eventually see them here at some point. So.
Yeah, potentially, if there's new elements to implement in the Growth Management Act. There's right now, frankly, there's still some degree of uncertainty about what's going to come out of the Ruckel South Center because, jokingly, we've said, oh, it's been Ruckel's housed, and that every tough issue is almost getting shunted there, and we don't want to deal with this. Let's give it 5 years for the Ruckel South Center to chew on it.
They have a year schedule. They're going around to. I'm sorry. They have a year schedule, and they're going about the whole state and taking hearings.
I understand the process. I'm just curious about what we're actually.
The comments submitted on behalf of
the
county.
Submitted.
Sure. We can send those out. Any written comments that were provided during those meetings, and honestly, I'm not familiar with any specific ones. But I'll look into it, and we can have Amanda circulate those through your emails to you all. The other issue that sounds like is getting kind of combined with the GMA and the Ruckel South Center work is that the Puget Sound Regional Council right now is kind of just wrapped up their scoping for the update of Vision 2040. This is the Vision 2050 that's scheduled to come out in a couple of years. And so this is kind of the regional planning framework for King Pierce and Snohomish and Kitsap counties and all the cities that work within it. So if you think of this hierarchy of the Growth Management Act, then you have this regional plan called Vision 2040 currently. And then you have countywide planning policies, which are more kind of the geographic specific policies that coordinate the comprehensive planning between the cities within the county jurisdictions. So Kitsap County has its countywide planning policies, and then each jurisdiction has their own comprehensive plan. So this is kind of one of the more umbrella level policy documents that really sets up strategies for regional growth, not just Kitsap County, but the four county area. And so they went through kind of a preliminary process of looking at these regional growth centers, which are a major strategy for accommodating growth into the future, kind of working along those 20-year planning horizons. And right now in Kitsap County, we have two of these regional growth centers. One of them is the city of Bremerton as kind of our metropolitan city for this county. We also have a portion of Silverdale, kind of in the Silverdale Mall area, not the whole urban growth area, but a portion of that. And these areas that are regional growth centers, and they've been designated over the years by the Puget Sound Regional Council. Over those years, they've used different evaluation criteria when they designate these regional centers. These areas receive, if you will, preferential treatment in the allocation of transportation funding dollars. Oftentimes, they're meant to be really the center for accommodating major population and employment opportunities within the jurisdictions or really within the region. And so there was some concern with this regional center framework, which was kind of a precursor to this Vision 2040 update that's getting underway. They were looking at standardizing their center's criteria, which would have potentially led in some of the earlier drafts, would have potentially led to kind of a downgrade of the Silverdale Regional Center designation, or would have established targets in terms of levels of development that are unlikely to be seen in a reasonable time frame for some place like Silverdale. Would work great for South Lake Union or maybe kind of the Bellevue, the box around Lake Washington. Doesn't work so well for some of these other jurisdictions. And so there was concern expressed by the county, the KRCC jurisdictions. Pierce County expressed similar concerns in this process, as did Snohomish County. A lot of the cities, however, were supporting these new regional designation criteria and what do you do with ones that had already been established. And originally, they weren't going to just grandfather them in, despite the level of planning that may have gone or investment that had gone into these centers already. Luckily, as that regional center framework has kind of gone through the adoption process at the Puget Sound Regional Council, a lot of the concerns that Kitsap had originally had in terms of the designation criteria or redesignation process have been kind of set aside with more, I think, in terms of the department anyways, in terms of the department's expectation is more reasonable criteria that we think we can make that can enable Kitsap and Silverdale and Bremerton to maintain that kind of parity with some of the other regional centers in the three counties on the east side of Puget Sound. Also involved in that process was a look at the manufacturing and industrial centers that had been designated around. And there was similar concern over looking at some of these centers like the, I go back to the old days, SCIA, Puget Sound Industrial Area of Bremerton or BISMIC or something like that, I think they call it now, the city of Bremerton's industrial area by the airport. And concerns that the county had at that point have also, I think, been addressed through, you know, the legislative adoption process with the Puget Sound Regional Council. So two different things. They're kind of related. They've, you know, PSRC has been kind of a conduit for the Ruckels House Center getting out to jurisdictions and communities to talk about their work. So
okay. I was trying to listen to that meeting, and it's not the best audio on
sure.
It. But I thought there was some discussion about criteria that would include the bases, and that was what...
So with the centers, there was also some consideration about major military facilities and how those should be handled. Should those be kind of considered to be centers unto themselves? Should they be taken into account in terms of their proximity to the designated regional growth centers? As you can imagine, for these military installations, it's a priority at the federal level, at the state level. It's also really important locally to recognize those. They do have an impact on the surrounding communities, but also we have no jurisdiction inside the fence of those facilities. They're really variable depending on where you go. At JBLM and Kitsap were too closely aligned because the size of the facilities that we have in our respective jurisdictions are probably more comparable than Navy Base Everett, in Snohomish County. But there was never any kind of real solid decision in terms of how to do it. They were decidedly, it was, let's recognize them, let's take them into consideration as we're looking at our other regional kind of planning priorities and acknowledge that they have an impact. But to a certain extent, that got kind of pushed down the road a little bit to come up with any clear criteria in terms of how these can and will be considered in transportation allocation dollars. I think the understanding is that they can come in for transportation projects and might be handled at a level of parity with a regional growth center, but the projects that they're proposing have to be, you know, outside the fence. They have to be, how do you get traffic inside and outside? And that may actually present an opportunity for jurisdictions like Kitsap because of the proximity of Silverdale and Subbase Bangor. You know, there are interactions between those two geographies, and together you might go in for transportation improvement projects that might have even more of a competitive edge than some that are just dealing with a single center all by itself. So that's the PSRC in 10 minutes.
Thank you. Is there anything else for the good of the order? It is now 6:17. We can adjourn our meeting.